Praise the Lord. Message number 275. The title of the message, God's calling requirements, part 13. Let's open our Bible to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, and let's read verse 1 to verse 14. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king of Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stand here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord did not choose this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have? They are still the youngest." Jesse answered, "He is tending the sheep, Samuel said. Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for all what you have done in our life. We thank you for your word that you always send to us on time to teach us your way and to guide us and to enable us to understand your will and your command. I pray, Lord, that the message of yours will help people will heal them and will deliver them from all troubles and work of devil. We come against it and we rebuke all in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your be done. Let the power of the Holy Ghost take the message and achieve the purpose and bring the fruit that you desire to see in the life of your church and your people. Arrange the message and put verse and statement to accomplish your purpose of sending this word of yours to your church. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here is the setup for God's calling for David. And God's calling for David to be a king was in a very critical period in the life of the people of God. As we know, Saul, the previous anointed king, had rebelled and went away from obeying God and from performing his will. Therefore, the Lord decided to replace him with David. However, as we have read, there are things need to be accomplished, and also there were hindrances, and there may be in the same way hindrances delaying you or hindering you from responding to the call of God in your life. We will go through the scriptures and we will see the factors that will help you to achieve the will of God and God's calling in your life. There are factors and there are hindrances. We'll go point by point through the scriptures and to deal with them to make you understand how you can fulfill and achieve the purpose of God in your life. First point is emotions. Samuel was having emotions and feeling toward Saul and was continually praying and crying to God to restore Saul back to his calling. It reached the stage that the Lord spoke to Samuel and said to him, "How long will you mourn for Saul?" You know, he was linked with emotions, and you might be linked with emotions that you have certain people and they went away and you love them and you want them to be restored. But God now is doing his work in a way to replace him. He is about to replace him. Since Saul was utterly rebellious against God, God then decided to use other person. The same way that God will use other people to do his work and ministry. Samuel was, at that point, he was bound with his emotion towards Saul. But Samuel was able to overcome. Samuel overcome and control his emotion and feeling and got along the new plan of God that he is going to send him to Jesse of Bethlehem, for he has chosen one of his sons to be a king. In the same way for you, you need to control your feelings and emotion and let your mind rule and has control over your heart and feelings and the rest of your body so you can obey God and go forward along his plan. The second point is persecution. Samuel was afraid of Saul, who would persecute him if he would know that he is going to anoint king, that he's going to anoint David as a new king for Israel. In the same way, persecution and fear of threats and attacks of the enemy might play a role and a factor to let you go forward and obey God. You might be afraid that you'll be persecuted, hurt, or harmed by certain people that you had annoyed and you had worked with, but now they are against you. Don't be afraid. God is with you. Samuel, how he overcome this factor, the persecution. Samuel expressed to God the reality of the situation and his fear from Saul. He told him, "How I can go if Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.'" In the same way, express to God your fear and he will be the one to instruct you and help you to overcome as Samuel was able to overcome. God will give you the instruction and what you need to do. You need to trust God. The third point, trust God and apply precisely the instruction He gives you to protect you. God spoke to Samuel, as we have read. Tell him, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. God gave him wisdom of what he needs to do. And God put word in his mouth of what he needs to say. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. No more, no less. God will teach you what you need to do and what the word that you need to speak or say. In verse 4, we have read, Samuel did what the Lord said. Do the same. And do not alter the instruction, neither do you more, nor you do less. What he asked you to do, you do. What he asked you to speak, you speak. You know, when Samuel went there, you know, he did not say, oh, you know what Saul did, and I came and I was praying and God spoke to me, told me I rejected him. No. He did not say anything. He did not mention even that I have come to anoint king. He did not say anything. Control your emotion and feelings and control your mind and mouth and abide with the fine instructions that the Lord is giving to you, so that the mission of God, God's calling requirement, you will fulfill and bring the fruit that God wants to see in your life. The fourth point, God for each step will instruct you of what you need to do. God told Samuel in verse 3, invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. He told him, go there and I will show you what to do. He did not tell him the full setup and the program. First you go there. When you are there, I will tell you what you need to do. God did not yet tell Samuel whom he had chosen. But he told him, what he told him, and I will show you what to do. What you learn from this, what we learn from this as a church, every time God is asking us, asking you to do something, and you are doing it, then you are finding yourself informed by God about the next step. Step by step. Point number 5. Control your mouth and do not declare what God did not ask you to declare. We put this in a separate point because it's very important. Samuel never said to anyone during his whole visit and communication in Bethlehem that he came to anoint a new king. He never said it. It did not come out from his mouth. Devil knows when you speak or you write something. But devil does not know what God had told you, or what God has spoken to you, or what is in your mind, unless you say it or you write it down. Samuel kept calm. And David did not know what is the purpose of Samuel's visit to Bethlehem. You know, many nowadays, when God is calling them, they will go on with a big announcement and programs, and stir up with their boasting all the demonic power to oppose them and fight against them. In James 4:16 say, as it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. God's work will not go on with boasting and much showing off. God works with humble people, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit goes along those who quietly do the work of God. Therefore, control your mouth of what you speak and tell to the people. Do not speak more, neither add nor deduct of what God wants you to say to the people. The next point, point number six. Consecration and dedication is needed in response to God's call. In verse 5, we have read, Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourself and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Holiness in our lives and in the lives of people under our care is needed to achieve the call of God. Next point, point number 7. Do not set your mind in tune with the mind of the people around you. Do not think in your mind in the way the people around you think. In verse 6 we have read, when they arrived, the family of Jesse, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stand here before the Lord." Samuel thought that Eliab was God's chosen king because Eliab was tall. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him." The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The reason that Samuel was considering the height of Eliab, and because his height he considered him king, why he considered the height of Eliab, because King Saul was the tallest man in Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, when the setup of anointing Saul in public, when they gather all tribes, we read verse 21 to verse 24, then he brought forward the tribe of Benjamin, clan by clan, and Matri's clan was taken. Finally, Saul, son of Kish, was taken. But when they looked for him, he was not to be found. So they inquired further of the Lord, "Has the man come here yet?" And the Lord said, "Yes, he was hidden. He has hidden himself among the supplies." They ran and brought him out. And as he stood among the people, he was a head taller than any of the others. Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see the man the Lord has chosen? There is no one like him among all the people." Then the people shouted, "Long live the king!" Saul was God's choice and respond to people wants and requests. When the people want king, they insist on to have king. God give them the one that fit their desires, not the will of God. They wanted a king to fight for them, the Philistines, and we know that the Philistines had giants among them. Therefore, God gave them a tall man as a king to suit their mind, setup, and purpose. So now, when God would replace Saul with another person, Samuel thought and concluded that God will replace Saul with another person who is tall, and that's why he guessed it was Eliab. When you respond to God's call, I repeat, just put in your mind what Jesus said. In Luke chapter 16, verse 15, he told them, he said to them, "You are the one who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your heart. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight. Do not conform to the pattern of this world and to the pattern of the people around you. Otherwise, you will be hindered from achieving God's goal and purpose. Let God renew your mind, your principles, change it from people and worldly principles to principles that are standardized by God's word and indicated by the Holy Spirit. The point number 8, the good example of Jesse in responding to God's call. In verse 8, then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel, but Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen this. The good example of Jesse. Jesse was so cooperative with Samuel in achieving the purpose of God. Samuel was the pastor and Jesse was the head of his family. Jesse did not object or disturb Samuel. Why God did not choose his firstborn? He did not dictate anything on Samuel, and even he did not speak a word or express his opinion to Samuel, the pastor. He just answered Samuel, Jesse just answered Samuel what he asked a question and did what he was asked to do. In verse 11, so he asked Jesse, are these all these the sons you have? They're still the youngest. Jesse answered, he is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. Verse 12, so he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health. He was ruddy and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. Now here, when Jesse called David, he was tending the sheep. He was tending the sheep of Jesse. When Samuel told him, call him, Jesse called him at once. Even he was tending his sheep, the sheep of Jesse. Someone else other than Jesse, he might be disobedient to the instruction of Samuel to call him, and disobedient to God. And he may even say, please, he is busy with my work. He may say to Samuel, you can come after, or let's wait to the night, or until tomorrow, until he will come. You know, Jesse was full obedient because he knew that Samuel was doing the work of God. Jesse was even on full control over his family. He was controlling his wife. His wife did not come and jump in and interfere and give her opinion and wishes. Even his sons did not reject or show resentment that their youngest brother was chosen, and even David. When his father called him, he came at once and without delay when his father called him. That's a very clear point, cooperation of Jesse And then his good example in responding to God's call. The point number nine, respond to God's call and cooperate with God and His church and His servant. God had ordained the anointing of David in a very critical period in the life of His church and His people. And we have read in verse 14, now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. So here, the Holy Spirit had left, the Spirit of God, the anointing had left Saul. So here, the setup to anoint David was an urgent thing to be done. So he sent for him, in verse 12, and had him brought in. That's when Jesus sent for David. He was ruddy and had a fine appearance and had handsome features. Then the Lord said to Samuel, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. Be sensitive as Samuel was sensitive to hear and respond to the voice of God. When God said to Samuel, rise and anoint him, this is the one. Be sensitive in certain meeting and setup to hear the voice of God. Once David was anointed, the Holy Spirit came on him powerfully. Samuel took the horn and anointed him. After Samuel anointed David, we have read Samuel then went to Ramah. Samuel went home only after he finished the task that God asked him to do in a perfect way. Never go home while leaving the work of God undone. No rest for you unless you complete and finish the work of God. Samuel was sensitive in his response to God. Jesse was sensitive and obedient to the instruction of Samuel because he knew that Samuel, what he was saying is from God. And David responded to the call of his father. When his father called him, he responded quickly and came because he knew that his father is obedient to God. The family of Jesse was all in order. All these things that we mentioned were important factors that determine the fruitful outcome in the anointing of David and setting him as king in that very particular and critical period in the life of the church and the people of God. Let's come and pray, ponder upon the message, and ponder upon the points that you hear, and come to the Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart and mind and thought, and surrender your will to Him, and cooperate, be sensitive, be on time, to respond. Tell him, Lord, thank you for your clear word to me. I come before you in the name of Jesus. Ask him forgiveness, Lord, forgive me to delay in responding to your call and delaying in responding to your still voice. Lord, I commit myself to the principles of this message, to apply them in my life. Lord, continue to speak to me and make me aware which time I need to do, which time and what I need to do. Lord, sustain me and uphold me with your grace. Lord, help me. I am willing to do your work. Now ask God and tell him what's your question, what's your fear, what's your query. so that he will give you the instruction. Lord, instruct them with the fear of yours, with your commands and your word, O God. I pray, O God, for everyone who responds to your message and your call, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit be with him, sustain him, protect him, watch over him, watch over her, watch over your congregation and your church and your peoples, so that we may be moving forward in responding to your call and in achieving your purpose. O God, take this message and make it reach those who are in need of your word, who are in need, O God, and who are willing and in desperate need of this word of yours, so that they'll be able to progress forward in achieving your will. Take this message, O God, and make it reach beyond walls and overcome hindrances, O Lord, Holy Spirit. Take it, O God, to those who are in need of your will and your command. O God, bless us. Enlarge our territory, God. Let your hand be with us. And keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.